Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and happy Memorial Day weekend. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. For many people I know, a very busy Memorial Day weekend, so thank you for taking some time out to spend with us. And obviously, we want to honor all of those people who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can be on this radio show and talk about what we want to talk about. So thank you to all of our veterans, past and present, here from WrestleChat Radio. Anyway, folks, SummerSlam's looking like it's going to be drenched in controversy. And not the good kind of controversy either. You know, there's Eric Bischoff once said controversy creates cash, and I suppose he's right. But not all controversy creates cash. Some controversy creates resentment. And that's exactly what you don't want. And I think the WWE, unfortunately, may be heading down that road and heading down that road very, very quickly. The first thing that was announced, it was not officially announced, but it's strongly rumored to the point where it may as well be announced, is that they are working very hard and have probably got Cardi B to host SummerSlam. Now, Cardi B, listen, you can like her, you can hate her, you can say whatever you want about her. But here's the deal. You cannot, with a straight face, yell at your own employees, your own workers, for doing little minor things that might upset the general public. And then have Cardi B host SummerSlam. You cannot say, well, we're in a PG era and we want to be very fan-friendly and family-friendly, and then have Cardi B host your SummerSlam right after her very unusual performance at the award show. Now, she's not going to do anything like that in WWE. They're going to pull the reins in on her tight. They're going to make sure she doesn't say or do anything that's too off the wall, let's say. But it doesn't matter, because now she is draped in controversy. In other words, she is someone who has come out and I mean, let's just call it what it is. She's come out and performed a pretty adult performance that some people felt would be better suited to a porn house than a award show. And if that's not bad enough, she slandered a broadcast journalist by claiming that fake tweets that were written to defame her were actually true, and there's currently a lawsuit going on against her. Honest to God, I don't know why you think this is going to help your product. I just don't know why you think this is going to help your product. Once again, you're going to end up isolating half of your fan base, where you're going to have people saying, look, Cardi B has nothing to do with wrestling. She's done some things that have angered some people. Why do you need that controversy? And for all of the people out there who are saying, Marcus, you're being a stick in the mud. I'm not a stick in the mud. Okay? I'm a fan of people who've done far worse than Cardi B will ever think about doing. Go look up Gigi Allen. Go look up the Plasmatics. Find out what they did on stage. 100 times worse than anything Cardi B will ever do. However, they weren't on public television, broadcast television, on an award show that's supposed to be quote unquote family entertainment. And had they been, I would not be a fan of it. I'm a fan of a band called Jenna Torturers who actually play S&M clubs and do shows that are extraordinarily over the top when it comes to adult behavior. But they also do normal rock clubs. And you know what? When they do the normal rock clubs, they tone it down. Because they have a little bit of a sense of, well, there could be people here who don't want to see that. And if you do, you know where you can find them. I'm not against censoring anybody. Cardi B can do whatever she wants to do, and God bless her. She can sing whatever she wants to sing. I don't want her in any way, shape, or form to be censored. I don't want her to be banned. I don't want her to be toned down. I don't want any of those things. I want her to be the artist she wants to be. However, for the same reason you probably wouldn't have Howard Stern host a Nickelodeon show, you probably don't want Cardi B in wrestling. Number one, does she know anything about wrestling? Number two, what happens if she does say something or do something outrageous, which is her forte? You're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. And I just don't see what the reward is. Well, she's famous. And so let's say I'm a Cardi B fan. Am I going to sit through SummerSlam just to see her on one or two segments? No, I don't think so. I already know she's not going to do anything that I want, you know, I would tune in to want to see her for, right? I mean, I've named a bunch of bands. Gigi Allen is dead. But if Gigi Allen were alive and he was going to host SummerSlam, I'm going to be like, well, there's really no point. He's not going to do anything. They never, ever, they're not giving him a hot mic. It's not going to happen. So what's he going to be, a toned-down version or whatever? It's not going to work. Her fan base doesn't want that. It's not going to get you one more set of eyes on the product. It's just not. But that in and of itself is not so bad. If it was just Cardi B is hosting SummerSlam, I'd say, oh, God, I think it's a mistake. I think it's a PR mistake, but whatever. But now we hear the main event is most likely going to be, and this is a spoiler, it's not written in rock, but this is what they wanted. The main event was scheduled and probably still is scheduled to be Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Now, John Cena had to come out and apologize to China a few days ago because he accidentally said while he was promoting the Fast and Furious 9 or 19 or however many they're up to, that Taiwan would be the first country to be able to see F9, to which, of course, the Chinese government says, Taiwan is not a country. Well, yes, Taiwan is a country. The United States recognizes Taiwan as a country, period. Chinese don't, but the United States does. And John Cena is from the United States of America. So John Cena's job was not to grovel in front of the Chinese government and say, I'm so, so sorry I made such a horrible, dumb mistake. It wasn't a mistake. What mistake did you make, John? Taiwan is a country. And I love China, and I love the Chinese people. John Cena crossed the line. Now, I listened to some of his fellow workers defend him, and it's to their credit that they're defending him. I heard Brodus Clay, who's now going as Tyrus. I heard him say, look, you want to know what kind of man John Cena is? My match from WrestleMania was being bumped because we didn't have enough time. So I was going to miss out on my WrestleMania match. And John Cena told Vince McMahon, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in 10 minutes. And then looked at me and said, 10 minutes, Brodus. That's the kind of man John Cena is. So I got my WrestleMania match because of him. So I'm standing with him. Well, that's dumb. That's absolutely dumb. So he's nice to fellow workers. So what? So what? I could go down a list of people from, just total morons to bank robbers to embezzlers to liars and cheaters and con men that are nice to other people and have done nice things. But this is a wrong thing. Just because someone does something nice for you doesn't mean they're always right. And if that's the kind of attitude you're going to have, that's a lousy, lousy attitude. John Cena was wrong. He was wrong when he praised Saudi Arabia and said it was such a progressive, wonderful country. It's not. The type of country that oppresses women, flat out kills gays, and apparently chops up anybody who doesn't agree with them into suitcases in Turkish embassies and carries them out. Is that like a progressive, wonderful country to you, John? I don't think so. Now, as far as John Cena saying, oh, well, you know, I love the Chinese people, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I love the Chinese people, too. It's the government I have a huge problem with. And this is an especially bad time for it because now we're finding out that probably the Wuhan virus did, in fact, escape from a laboratory in Wuhan. And they lied to us this whole entire time and probably cost tens of thousands more lives, or if not hundreds of thousands more lives, than if they'd just been honest with us. But I love China. And they're putting Uyghurs in death camps. But I love China. And they're working children at slave labor for food, a bottle of water, but I love China. See, this is the problem. All John Cena really had to do was get up there and say, if my comments in any way, shape, or form offended any of the Chinese people whom I love, then I'm very, very sorry. That was not my intention. My intention was just to tell you where you could see my movie first. And if in doing that I hurt someone's feelings or stepped on someone's toes or whatever, that was never my intention. So you have my apologies for that. That's all. You don't have to say you made a mistake, John, because you didn't make a mistake. You don't have to say you love China, John, because not too many people love China right here in the United States of America right now. I'm not talking about the Chinese people, so let's not get off on a tangent about that. Chinese Americans are hardworking people. I have a very, very, very close relationship with a guy who runs a Chinese restaurant here, so close that he invites me every year to his Chinese New Year with his family at his house. And we partake in his traditional foods that they don't sell in their restaurant. That's how close a relationship I have with him and his family. None of this is their fault. None of this is the Chinese people's fault. But you can't say with a straight face, well, I love China. Well, I'm sure you do when they're putting millions of dollars in your pocket. But unfortunately, they're helping to destroy the United States of America. And I thought you were Johnny Red, White, and Blue. You blew it, John. You blew it. You look like a sniveling, on your knees sycophant. And a typical Hollywood elitist. Ain't nobody rooting for you at SummerSlam. The face has now become the heel. You put John Cena against Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns is going to get cheered. Nobody wants to see John Cena win. John Cena has ruined his own reputation. This would have been no different than if Hulk Hogan, who carried the red, white, and blue, said, oh, no, Saudi Arabia never did anything like that. Saudi Arabia would never, ever, ever in a million years cover up the death of somebody. Now, he went to Saudi Arabia. He posed for pictures with the people. Ain't nothing wrong with that. not these people's fault in Saudi Arabia, what their government's doing. But he didn't get on a microphone and say, I just think this is the most wonderful, most progressive country in the world. It's so beautiful, and they're treating their people so well. He didn't say that. John Cena said that. And now John Cena says that China, I love China. You know, an honest man would say, I never meant to offend the Chinese people, and I didn't mean to play politics. And you just leave China out of it. But we see this all the time. LeBron James can't say anything bad about China. The NBA can't say anything bad about China. If you try, you're fired because they own the NBA. Now they're trying to own every single person in Hollywood, too. And boy, if you say one bad thing, when's the last time you saw a Chinese bad guy in a movie? Remember Red Dawn, the remake? Well, I got a newsflash for all of you film buffs. It wasn't supposed to be North Korean soldiers. It was supposed to be Chinese. And when the Chinese saw the movie, they contacted the film company and told them to change it. Now, you please explain to me why that film company didn't say, and you can go F yourself. We don't have to change anything. Who are you to dictate what we do in the United States of America? You know what they did? Changed the whole movie at a huge cost to them. Changed the whole entire movie because they didn't want to piss off China. You know why? Because they need that market desperately. And John Cena was told by the powers that be, you get on your damn video camera and you sincerely and humbly apologize to China so that we can make our millions and millions and millions of dollars off this movie, or you ain't never going to see another acting role again. And what did John Cena do? He acquiesced. He took the knee. And he can try to explain this nine ways to Sunday, but I'm telling you he took the knee because he had the perfect golden opportunity to just apologize to any of the Chinese people he may have offended. Not say he made a mistake. Not say he made a mistake. Why would you say you made a mistake when he didn't make a mistake? China wants the world to think Taiwan is ours. No, it's not. Probably will be soon, but it's not. So there we go. So now we have double controversy, don't we? We have Cardi B hosting and John Cena main eventing. What next? Maybe we can get Dr. Fauci to manage somebody? Fit some poison mist in his face? Would that be controversial enough? Can we do that? I don't know what the WWE's thinking. Let me go to the phones. Mike, what do you think of this? I mean, this is just, you know, it's self-inflicted damage.
Yeah, you're right. And look, as far as Cardi B goes, there was a let's go back. I know I'm talking over 90% of the fans' heads nowadays, but let's go back to the 1980s. And there was a reason why they chose Cyndi Lauper over Madonna.
Right.
All right. Madonna, Cyndi Lauper was generally considered to be a non-threatening, non-controversial person. And then when did the WrestleMania take place? It took place after Madonna did her thing at the VMAs.
Yep.
Okay.
Fair.
And that was a very controversial thing back then. Her in a white wedding dress doing what she was doing on stage live. That was controversial. All
right. Right.
And you see what the WWE chose to do then. And this should be the exact same thing in my eyes, but the WWE, I guess, controversy sells, I guess. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. If the WWE was in the Attitude Era, I'd say, hey, Cardi B's a perfect fit. I'm not saying that I don't want wrestling to be edgy and adult or whatever, but if you want to make it edgy and adult, then don't hold your performers back then. You can't have it both ways. You can't say to your performers, you better not say or do X, Y, and Z, but the guest host we have can do whatever the hell they want. because that doesn't make any sense. You can't say, well, we're trying to tone it down for children so that children can enjoy it, and then have Cardi B, I'm sorry, be the host. You can't. It's dumb. Now, I do want to address something, because Derek in the chat room was saying, you know, we shouldn't say Happy Memorial Day, because it really is to honor the dead veterans who gave their lives for the country. Well, here's my argument. We're all happy to be Americans, and hopefully, and we're all happy to be free. And the people who sacrificed everything to make that happen would not want this day to be a maudlin, morbid, funeral pyre event. They would want us to celebrate our freedom because that's what they fought for. They would want us to be happy. They would want us to exercise that freedom and make sure we appreciate what they did. So I choose, instead of spending it in sorrow, to spend it honoring them by enjoying and appreciating my freedom. That's why I say Happy Memorial Day. Anyway, yeah, look. Here's the deal with Cardi B. I don't care what she does. For all I care, if you wanted to bring her out and she did it, wants to do a striptease in the middle of the ring, I'm good with it. But then you're going to have to understand that you're back to the Attitude Era and stop making your wrestlers follow a different standard then. Hell, if this was the days when they were doing all this crap with Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and everything, I'd say absolutely. Sable was out there. And the cat was taking her top off and everything else. Just go for it. Yeah, absolutely have Cardi B. The more wild, the better. But that's not where you're at. So you can't send mixed signals. In other words, I'm sure that somewhere there's a church that wants to have a fundraiser. And they want very desperately to raise as much money as they possibly can. Maybe it's for a really good cause. Maybe it's for a child going through an operation or whatever. They're not going to book Marilyn Manson, even though they know he would draw big money. They're not going to book Rob Zombie, even though they know he would draw big money. And you know why? Because it's a bad look for the event, even though it could potentially be very successful. Well, that's like SummerSlam. Now, you've made it a bad look because you've said, we are family-friendly entertainment. You can rest assured that we are not going to be too controversial, do anything off the charts, and then you hire Cardi B to be the host. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. And what are we going to get next? Cardi B versus Alexa Bliss or something? I don't want to see any of this. But they got a bigger problem, Mike, and I think the bigger problem is John Cena. Because despite the fact that, like I said, many of the colleagues that he worked with, to their credit, have defended him, saying, I know John Cena, and I know John Cena is not a he's not a, one of these social justice warriors. He's not a, you know, snowflake. He's a very fair man. He's a very good man. Look at all the make-a-wishes he did. I agree with all that. And in no way does this take away from any of his make-a-wish things. Those are all wonderful, great things. But yeah, but doing wonderful, great things does not mean you can do bad things and get away with it. I'm sure there's a doctor somewhere who has saved life after life after life after life. That is a wonderful, great thing to do. That doesn't mean he gets to go home and beat his children. And somebody whose life he saved says, well, I don't care. He saved my life, and he's a wonderful man. But no, he's not a wonderful man. He's beating his children. Now, I'm not saying what John Cena is doing is beating his children, but he's beating his country. Because that is not what this country wants to hear, especially now. What happens if this 90-day thing with Joe Biden comes through and they say, yeah, man, it was released from the Wuhan lab. It absolutely was. The Chinese government lied to Americans and did not give them ample time to prepare. And because we were not amply warned about what could happen, thousands and hundreds of thousands of extra people died. What happens if that happens? And then John Cena has to waltz into SummerSlam saying, I love China. Because the American people aren't going to love China too much. And I'm telling you right now, just like we have in this country or any other country, there's a big difference between the government and the people. I have nothing against any Chinese people at all. Every single one I've met thus far have been wonderful, happy-go-lucky, hardworking people who try to escape their oppressive government because they know their government's no good. They know their government is psychotic and communistic. They know it. So I think John Cena made another error. He says, I love the Chinese people in one breath, and then says, and I love China. Well, wait a minute. I think China loves its own people. Not when you're taking COVID people and boarding them up in their own houses. When you're literally having people come and board up your windows and doors, permanently locking you in like a tomb into your own house. And if you don't have any food, oh, well, do the best you can. We got a major problem here, Mike. I don't see how they're going to be able to pull off Roman Reigns, John Cena, and make it mean something.
I don't see that either. And frankly, it's to the point of, they're going to probably have to change this thing. And this, if it happens, and he's not coming back for any length of time, because then if it was going to do that then I would say, well, fine, you did what you did. We're going to turn you heel. Because you know he's not going to be cheered. I mean, he was already 50-50 as it was, and the people that were cheering him, you know, we're going to be cheering him, may not be cheering him anymore. And that's not what they want for Roman Reigns, because if they don't cheer John Cena, they got damn well cheer Roman Reigns. You know that, right?
See, that's my problem, is I think that John Cena lost something very important when he did that. He lost his credibility as Mr. Red, White, and Blue, because the American people do not feel that way. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. The American people do not feel that way. Okay? This is not a Republican-Democrat thing, because Bernie Sanders himself has said, you know, China's taken advantage of us for years, and their government is corrupt as it can possibly be and oppressive to its people and all kinds of things. There are many Democrats who believe that exact same thing. But this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue at all. So when you're supposed to be standing up for your country and your country says our official position is Taiwan is a country, and you go out and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I made a mistake and called Taiwan a country. That's not good. Not a good look. It's not a good look for Mr. Red, White, and Blue, is it? Well, it's a bad thing. Very bad thing. It would be almost the equivalent of going into the Middle East and saying, you know, ISIS is a terrorist group, and then having to come back and say, I'm very, very sorry. I made a huge, awful mistake. ISIS is a military group, but they're not a terrorist group. I'm so sorry I called it. No, they're a terrorist group. And Taiwan is a country. I know most wrestling fans don't give one damn one way or the other, and that's a shame, because you should give a damn. Most wrestling fans are just about, well, let's see what story they tell with Cena. Well, what story are you going to tell? This is another thing. Let's get into why the other part of this John Cena thing's a disaster. What story are you going to tell? You're going to tell that a 40-some-odd-year-old guy who hasn't wrestled in 2 years, lost about, I don't know, 100 pounds, is going to waltz back into a ring with absolutely a zero warm-up and be a threat to Roman Reigns, who has defeated everybody that's been put in front of him. That would be the equivalent of saying, well, we're going to go get a pitcher from the 1980s to pitch a game in the World Series. And we expect him to pitch a shutout because, I mean, that's what he was doing when he was in his prime in the 80s. Well, this ain't the 80s. And he's going to get shellacked. Well, that's what we would expect from John Cena. We would expect that John Cena would get in the ring and literally get his ass whooped. So the last time we saw him, he was having some kind of a bad acid trip match with the Fiend. And now he's going to come back and do what? He's going to come back with the dog tags and the red, white, and blue after you've just genuflected to China? See, here's the thing. Smart people know that Russia's not the main antagonist of the United States. China is. And this is a problem because that's who you apologize to. Again, I'm not saying the Chinese people. It has nothing to do with the Chinese people. It doesn't have anything to do with the Saudi people. I've said a million times, you know, you look on the faces of those Saudi kids when they see the professional wrestlers coming through and you can't help but feel good for them. You can't help but say, isn't that wonderful that they finally get to go to an event and see that, you know, people that they only saw on television and they never ever thought in a million years they'd see live. It's wonderful. And I'm happy for every one of them. But that has nothing to do with the fact that their government sent a hit squad to a Turkish embassy to carve a man up like a Thanksgiving Day turkey, put him in briefcases, and remove him. The two. Separate the wide-eyed kid who's so happy that he's seeing, you know, Triple H and Brock Lesnar in Saudi, and he's, oh, this is my dream come true, and you have to feel happy for that kid. But that kid isn't the government who's sending hit squads to carve people up like Thanksgiving turkeys either. So there's a very, very fine line. Chinese people know what their government is. The Chinese people took that apology, and probably the vast majority of them think less of John Cena now. Because what they really probably wanted was to John Cena to just say his apologies to the Chinese people, not to the country and everything that stands for. But if you're wearing your Nike shoes right now, you got no room to talk, man, because it's probably made by a 7-year-old who's working 14 hours a day for a bowl of soup. You got your Apple iPhone, well, then you're probably, you know, not caring much about who made that and what conditions they live in. And apparently John Cena's not either, because the movie took in like $160 million the week it opened. They need that money. But unfortunately, what John Cena did with that apology, in my eyes, is he removed himself from the world of his professional wrestling character forever. Forever. Doesn't mean we don't acknowledge his past accomplishments. Doesn't mean we don't say he's a wonderful dude with a big heart for kids who does all kinds of make-a-wish things. All those things are great. All those things are wonderful. But that doesn't change what he did. Doesn't change it. So I don't know, Mike. If I were the WWE, I would put the brakes on this and see who else I could find.
Yeah, I would put the brakes on it as well. And frankly, I'd have to let this cool down at least a couple of years, if not more, before you know he's not going to – this was going to probably be a one-shot deal anyway, and after that, who knows when you're going to get him back. So, therefore, he's going to lose anyway. And like you said, you know, he's lost, what, 100 pounds?
Yeah, it looks
and
like,
he's
yeah.
going to be – Yeah, he's about 180 pounds or whatever it was, whatever it is. And what's what's Roman Reigns right now? 260?
Five, 270. Yeah.
So how are you gonna you know, it's almost like it would be almost like when we watch Batista come back and Batista looked like he'd been shrunken in a dryer, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the thing too, is it's just unrealistic that John Cena could come off the shelf and be any competition for a guy who's done what Roman Reigns has done. It's the exact same analogy I used. You know, if you want to brush off a baseball player from 2005 and say, well, in 2005, his ERA was 1.27, and he was the top reliever in baseball, so we're going to bring him in. And he's 20 years older, and he hasn't pitched in, 4 years. Okay. Well, guess what's going to happen to him? So I don't know, folks. I mean, look, if I was John Cena's spokesman, I would say the following. And by the way, if anybody from John Cena's camp may be tuning into this, I'll give you a free pass out, okay? So listen close. Here's what you say. John Cena never apologized to the Chinese government. John Cena apologized to China as a country. John Cena does not agree with many of the things the Chinese government is doing. But he agrees that the people should be treated fairly and forthright. Secondly, he said he made a mistake, but he didn't say he made a mistake when he called Taiwan a country. He simply said, I made a mistake. The mistake he was talking about was addressing it to begin with. You shouldn't address anything that's a political time bomb. And that was his mistake. And that's the mistake he was acknowledging. I shouldn't have brought up a political time bomb. Now, is anyone going to believe it? Yeah, maybe. But at least it's something. But to just sit there wide-eyed and incredulous going, well, what did I say wrong? Why would any American people be mad at me? Jesus, John, I don't know. Have you read a newspaper? Be reasonable, shall we? If the movie opened in Russia, are you going to say, you know, I didn't want to call Ukraine a country. I'm so sorry, Russia. So sorry. Didn't mean to call the Ukraine a country. It's terrible. I love Russia. I love it. You would never have said that. In a million years, you never would have said that. So this SummerSlam is looking to be extraordinarily controversial. Cardi B hosting, John Cena maybe main eventing, not looking good. Speaking of things that are not looking good, I was told that even though Bray Wyatt is available, and sometimes, I guess he was there at some points behind the scenes, there's no plans to use him right now. They don't know what to do. They're not sure what direction they want to go with him. Remember when I said it's almost impossible to blow The Fiend's character, but WWE is going to say, hold my beer? Man, was I the Nostradamus of professional wrestling. They have ruined this character. They took a cash cow. They took a character that's almost impossible to ruin because it is so easy to book. So easy to book. And they destroyed it. Let me give you a little example of why it's easy to book. In ECW, there used to be a guy called 911. He almost never wrestled. Once in a blue moon, he'd have a match. But most of the time, he would just come out at various times here and there and beat the hell out of whoever's in the ring. I don't care who you were. You could be the toughest guy ECW had to offer. And when you heard 911's music hit, your knees started knocking and you knew you were getting a chokeslam. And you sold that son of a bitch like you got hit with a bulldozer. And he was very popular. He was sparingly used. You might watch ECW for a month and not see him, but then one day there he was. Maybe you see him once or twice here and there. Because Paul Heyman knew this isn't a character that can be challenged all that much. If he loses, his credibility is gone, that everybody's afraid of him. So what's the point of getting him into a lot of matches? There's no point of getting into a lot of matches. Once in a while, he'll have a match here and there, and he'll win. But for the most part, we're just going to use him sparingly. And that shtick went on forever. And it worked. Because while fans didn't see 9-1-1 in much wrestling action, they knew one thing. He was the guy that you weren't going to mess with. He was the one guy that even the other wrestlers were like, yeah, uh-oh, here comes 9-1-1. And you just took the ass beaten, and that's what you did. He was like their Andre the Giant. Andre didn't have a ton of matches. But you knew that when he walked down there, you were getting your ass kicked. And it didn't matter if you were the top dog. It didn't matter if you were on a win streak. It didn't matter if you were the next guy in line for a championship belt. You weren't beating Andre the Giant. Well, that's what 9-1-1 was. And that's what The Fiend should have been. You could beat Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt as his normal character, you could have made him 50-50. You could have made him 60-40. You could have made him 20-80. Didn't matter. Because we all know the alter ego is 100 or damn near 100. And if you really mess with him, that's what you're going to get. But he doesn't come out to play that much. He's not a guy looking for a title. He's not a guy looking to be the next contender. He's not a guy looking for a match every week on Monday Night Raw. But no, you couldn't do that. You had to put him right in the title picture to begin with. And then when you said, well, you know, we had him lose to Seth Rollins, so he didn't have the title, and the fans didn't like that, so we had to give him the title. No, you shouldn't have put him in a title match to begin with. That's the whole point. The Fiend should have never wanted a belt, because anything that The Fiend was after certainly did not involve being a champion. It involved revenge. It involved destruction and mayhem and violence, but no belts. What are we supposed to believe? That The Fiend is like, oh, I'm the champion now. I get a better cut of the pay. Great for me. No, no, that's not The Fiend's character. The Fiend's character was just literally a maniac. But you ruined it. Then you tried to rehab it. And you had it there. And after he's set on fire and comes back as this, I guess, Jason Voorhees-type indestructible supernatural creature, he loses to an RKO. And basically hasn't been seen since. And you pass the gimmick on to Alexa Bliss. How much worse can this get? How much worse can this get? How can you take a character that's so easy to book, so easy to keep being a cash cow, so easy to keep the fans in anticipation. When are we going to see The Fiend again? It's almost a little bit like Finn Balor's demon character, right? We mostly see Finn Balor, and Finn Balor is beatable. He's good, but he's beatable. But the demon really isn't. When's the last time you've seen the WWE have the demon lose? I don't believe I've ever seen it, because it hasn't happened. So you know how to book the demon, but you don't know how to book the fiend? Mike, that makes me think they did it on purpose, because if you know one, you got to know the other.
Right, you got to know the other, and that's the thing. Think about it this way. You had Dusty Rhodes, and you had the Midnight Rider. Well, what was Dusty Rhodes? He was the affable, lovable guy. Yeah, he won his fair share of matches, but he also lost his fair share of matches, right?
Yeah.
Whereas when you heard that music, that Midnight Rider music, somebody's ass was going to get whipped, and you knew they were going to get whipped, and you knew it was Dusty, but you knew they were going to get whipped, and you knew you weren't going to stop him. So that's what they should have done with The Fiend. When you hear that theme music, he's that guy. He should have been like 9-1-1 was. 9-1-1 was that guy. You knew what was going to happen when he showed up, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why Paul understood that and said, this is a guy who can't have a match every week. He can't have feuds. He can't have big storylines. Because that's not going to be suited to this character. Because eventually the storyline, he's going to have to sell. He's going to have to lose. He's going to have bad things happen to him, be jumped and beaten up, and all kinds of things that happen when you're a face. So let's not do that to him. Let's just make him this entity that he comes out time to time when things are not looking good and clears the friggin' house. Well, you could have had the Fiend do that. You could have the Fiend target certain people. Doesn't mean he actually had to have a match with them. 911 didn't have a match with a lot of the people he targeted. That was the beginning and the end. He got in the ring, chokeslammed you, and story's told. And you could have Bray Wyatt be the wrestler. Now, Mick Foley, to an extent, did that. People are like, oh, well, it ain't so hard to beat Dude Love. But, boy, if Cactus Jack showed up, you're like, oh, this is going to hurt, and this is not going to be easy. Remember that? Well, how come he didn't do that with the Fiend? It almost makes me think that the WWE doesn't want to get certain people too popular. And when they get that popular, they actively look to destroy whatever it is that's making them that popular. There was a time when people were like, I just can't wait to see Alexa Bliss again. I just can't wait. She's doing such a phenomenal job. I can't wait. Now, what is that supposed to send a signal to? Well, that would send a signal to the writers and the upper echelon of the WWE that Alexa Bliss is over. She's very over. Fans want to sympathize with her. Fans want to see her. So that's the person you put in peril. That's the person that should have been the Fiend's puppet. You want to make the Fiend the bad guy? I'm all for it. Then that's the way you do it. It's through Alexa Bliss, because the fans were all about Alexa Bliss. And while some of the fans would have been like, oh, I'd have rather seen her stay bad guy and stay with the Fiend, you still would have sympathized with her if she did the popping in and out of character and begging someone to help her. But you couldn't have that. You couldn't have Randy Orton take a loss either, apparently. It's perfectly okay for him to take a loss to Matt Riddle, who you have zero solo plans for. But it's not okay for him to take a loss to the Fiend. That's crazy. I mean, who booked that? How does that work? In anybody's federation, how does that work? Any clear-thinking person knows that the Fiend had to win that match. I don't care if you want Alexa Bliss to turn on him afterwards. Go ahead. He still has to win the match. He still has to win the match. And that's why fans booed. Fans didn't boo because we don't like the ending. Fans booed because they said, you're doing it again. We told you at Hell in a Cell you were booking him horrible and we hate it. And now what did you do? You just gave us double middle fingers and did the same damn thing again. And that's exactly what they did. And we had one Firefly Funhouse where he teased about being reborn, and then we haven't seen him since. And from what I'm hearing, they're not sure what to do with him. They're not sure if the Fiend is finished, and they want to move on, go back to the old Bray Wyatt, just stay with the sweater vest Bray Wyatt. They have no idea what they want to do. And apparently Bray Wyatt is a little bit perturbed, too, about, well, you know, why keep reinventing yourself if you're just going to destroy it? I mean, you may as well go back to being Husky Harris. They can't destroy that. It's pre-destroyed. It's outrageous what the WWE did. And then they take a look at their ratings and they say, why did we only draw 1.6? You only drew 1.6 because no one gives a damn about anything you're doing. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. It's the exact opposite. You see, sometimes you jump the shark. Well, WWE does it all the time. We talk about it on this show. But, I mean, if you were going to make let's just say I'm a movie producer, and I say I want to make the ultimate gory, disgusting film that is almost impossible to sit through. Well, That would be very easy to do. That's very easy to do. Here's what you do. You just have a film where it shows people mutilating, torturing, and abusing, you know, fate, obviously. Mutilating, torturing, and abusing children and animals. No one wants to sit through that. No one in the world wants to sit through that. You couldn't possibly sit through that. You'd watch the first scene and say, oh, no, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that. I'm not watching this. That's why they don't do that in horror films. They take a bunch of snot-nosed teenagers who you say, well, good for that idiot got killed anyway. Who cares? And then the one or two people that you do care about, they usually escape. Well, the WWE would be the ones to say, pull out the puppies and the kids. That's what you're doing. No one wants to see the Fiend beat. You know no one wants to see the Fiend beat, so let's beat the Fiend. No one wants to see Alexa Bliss go out on her own and do this hokey gimmick, so let's make Alexa Bliss go out on her own and do this hokey gimmick. You're almost doing the exact opposite of what you should do, and then you're saying, well, we're giving you more of what you want. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's the difference between watching an Alfred Hitchcock film and just watching some film where people just get slaughtered. The whole movie is just torture and slaughter. If you don't want a plot, I guess that's perfectly fine if you're into that kind of stuff, but I prefer to be taken on a little bit of a ride where I get to know the characters, where I get to understand their motivations, where I get to decide who I like and who I don't like. WWE don't do any of that. They don't do any of that. So, Mike, with the ratings in the can like this, you would think this would be a big wake-up call.
Well, I mean, and there's a disconnect because you look at SmackDown's ratings, and where are they? There's a disconnect, you know. Think about it. SmackDown's ratings are on the rise, and the best thing they have is the whole Uso Roman Reigns thing right now. Now, we've talked about the branches on the tree to this thing with this Roman Reigns stuff, and that's what makes this thing so good. It's not just that they mess things up, the WWE. I mean, frankly, the Undertaker should never have lost at WrestleMania.
Of course he shouldn't. And the Undertaker today will say, oh, it was all right, it was fine. He knows it's not all right. He knows it's not fine. And Vince McMahon would say, well, you know, I made that decision. I wanted to make a shock. Well, it's like the movie I'm talking about. I can make people be in shock, but that don't mean they're going to like it. See, that's the problem. Shock is good if you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming, and in a way that's cool. But if you say, oh, I didn't see that coming, and that's dog shit, then that's no good. It's just no good. So let's get on to talk a little bit about SmackDown. Oh, by the way, I should mention, some people asked me to talk about it. Apparently, Paige was banned from Twitter. It had nothing to do with anything she did with the WWE. She apparently hosted some kind of let's watch a movie. I don't know whether it was Dumb and Dumber or something like that she watched. You can't do it. It's copywritten material. You can't host a movie watching party and then stream somebody else's movie. You would think she'd know it. She's in the business, literally in the business. And she doesn't know that there's copywritten material that exists. So they banned her from Twitter. I don't know if they're going to let her back on or not. It has nothing to do with WWE or Vince McMahon, though. It's her own fault for deciding she doesn't have to have permission to stream somebody else's film. Anyway, let's talk about SmackDown. Because I have to tell you, this is the exact antithesis of Raw. But, and this is a big but here, they have a main storyline that is so good and so powerful and so engrossing that they actually get away with some crap. They actually get away with putting on some crap on top of it. Not everything on SmackDown was good. We got a ridiculous 3-minute match with Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews that should have been at least 10, 12 minutes. And we got a ridiculous a sell job by Kevin Owens, who literally is selling that whatever they call that, the Ugandan whatever it is, for like 10 minutes. He literally sold it for a minute and a half, 2 minutes in the ring. And then there's like a match, and then we go back to the dressing room, and he's still selling it. My God, if it's that deadly, then I guess that guy's going to be the current, Aziz is going to be the champion. Because if anybody's ever hit with that, you can forget it. That was way overselling. And I guess they've decided the direction they're going to go is Kevin Owens versus Apollo Crews. I guess that Big E's out of that now. Big E is probably going to go on to something with Aleister Black, which they did not continue. Big mistake. Something should have been said about that. So did SmackDown make mistakes? Yeah, they did. I'm not sure I like this Rick Boobs or whatever his name is coming out with Shinsuke Nakamura. It was fun once. But I just have no idea what the hell he's doing coming out playing heavy metal guitar for Shinsuke Nakamura, who I don't think has ever portrayed himself as a heavy metal guy. Top of that, this storyline is completely up in the air weird because Baron Corbin's right. It is his crown, and Shinsuke Nakamura did steal it. So for him to just say, I'm taking it back, doesn't make him a bad guy. He's right. I hate it when the bad guys are right, because it ruins the whole thing. We had a women's match where literally they weren't even introduced. The match was literally on when we came back from commercial break, and Tamina wasn't even on the ring apron. I thought Natty was having a solo match for a minute, and then where is Tamina? Oh, well, she was attacked before the match. Well, we didn't get to see that. You didn't even show us on an instant replay when we came back. That's how much you care about that match. Those are your tag team champions. You didn't even care enough to show us what happened to Tamina? Wow, that's terrible. Terrible. Now, having said that, this SmackDown was so good when it came to the main focus that it is almost impossible to have not enjoyed this week's SmackDown. There is a very, very powerful storyline coming here, and I'm not sure what direction this thing is going to go, but I'm anxious to find out, because Jimmy and Jay are going to have their first match back after I don't know how long with the Street Profits, and the Street Profits are kind of acting kind of heelish, saying you're not the same Usos as you used to be. You're not those guys, Uso crazy, ha, 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 blah. They're acting like the bad guys. Roman Reigns, when he's face-to-face with Jimmy Uso, says, so this is what you want. And he says, yeah, that's what I want. If I get the tag team championship belts, that's just more gold for this family. You're the one always talking about taking care of this family. You're the one that's always talking about how everything we're doing is for the family and representing the family. What represents it better than if you have the belt and we have the belt? To which Roman Reigns says, okay. Good luck. And then when Jimmy Uso walks out, Jay stays. And he turns to Jay and says, you're going to need it. And then he says, regardless of what happens, Roman, I'm still on your side. He says, well, you better tell your brother that. Now, this actually is very good writing, because we're left to say, why would Roman not want them to have the championship belts? Jimmy Uso is 100% correct. That would only just better represent the family. Later on, Roman Reigns gives a very plausible explanation when he says to Jay, even if you become the tag team champions, you're always going to be that guy in the tag team who they say, which one are you? And that was a nice throwback to something that happened quite a while back. He says, with me, you're in the main event quite often. He's not winning, but he's in the main event quite often. You're just going to be, which one of the Usos are you again? Do you want to go back there? And Jay says, that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way. And he says, well, you better tell your brother to start thinking that way. Big things are going to happen here. Big things are going to happen. And by the way, the match with the Street Profits was off the charts excellent. Off the charts excellent. Short of literally having Reginald come and do a match on SmackDown, you couldn't have ruined SmackDown. You couldn't have ruined it. Not after that. The very first thing I said to myself after the opening with Roman Reigns, Usos and then Roman Reigns, the match and then the after part of the match where Roman Reigns talks to Jay, I said, you can't ruin this. There's no way to ruin SmackDown from this part out. You could literally have four bummer matches in a row, and it's still going to be at least a B-plus show. There's no way to ruin SmackDown past this because that's how good it was. And by the way, the Street Profits have shown something. They could turn heel and be very, very good at it, Mike, if they wanted to be.
Right. And look, the Usos, we've talked a lot about the Usos New Day's matches, right?
Yep.
And how good their chemistry was with that team. Well, I mean, I know it's just one match, but those two teams look like they have a great chemistry with each other.
Yes. Absolutely correct. If that's any indication, they have a phenomenal chemistry with each other. Now, again, SmackDown, the rest of SmackDown wasn't so hot. You have the Mysterios, I should say, against the Dirty Dogs. And what do? They just reverse the exact same thing they did at Backlash. The exact same angle. So once again, the rest of SmackDown wasn't great. That's for sure. Seth Rollins' weird interview where he played supposedly an audio of Cesaro just going, dumb. Really dumb. Had they not had that match and the whole Roman Reigns Usos angle going on SmackDown, this would have been it could have been an F. It would have been damn close to an F. You dropped the ball totally on the women's tag team match. Didn't even show Tamina getting waylaid. Didn't even give him an introduction. You let Kevin Owens have 2 minutes, and then he oversold that finisher of Aziz's to the point where he may as well have been shot with a cannon. Seth Rollins' interview was dumb. Shinsuke Nakamura, the thing doesn't make sense because Baron Corbin's 100% right, which is really weird. The Mysterios, they had the same exact basic premise to the match that they did at Backlash. None of this was quality at all, really. But when you have something that compelling, you can forgive it. You can literally forgive it. And I do, because I was totally entertained by SmackDown, because no matter how much the match was like, that wasn't so good, I was like, let's get back to what's happening here with the Usos. Maybe they're going to go backstage now. I want to see what Roman's thoughts are. I want to see what Jimmy's thoughts are. I want to see what Jay's thoughts are. These three guys have been unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, the thing that makes it even better is this. When Roman Reigns first turned heel, we said, he's a pretty good actor. You know, he's got it down, man. He's got this character down. He's real good at it. He's a way better actor than most of the other people in WWE currently. Well, he's third best. Jimmy and Jey Uso are absolutely fantastic at doing this role, I'm telling you. And what makes it so wonderful is they're not overdoing it. Jimmy Uso isn't like, I want to beat the hell out of Roman Reigns. No, he's not. He says, I totally disagree with you. I think you're wrong. I think you're being selfish. You're still my family. He's not. He doesn't have huge, let me hit him with a steel chair issues with Roman Reigns yet. He was talking to Roman Reigns, saying, yeah, this is my plan to do this for the family, and we'll all have gold and stuff. And when Roman Reigns said, good luck, he's like, really? He's like, yeah, good luck. So he's not overplaying it. They're not overplaying. Jey Uso is torn between his loyalty to his brother and his loyalty to his cousin, who he thinks is making him a main event star. It's all perfectly playing out. You could not ask for better. When you have Jimmy, Jey, Roman, and Paul Heyman is the least needed guy, what does that say? Usually it's Paul Heyman who has to carry the whole thing on his back. Paul Heyman isn't even needed. He's not even needed. That says a lot, Mike, because usually it's Heyman who has to, you know, take the load.
It really does. It really does. And really, he could almost, if they're going to bring back Lesnar to do something probably on Raw, even though Lesnar said he wants to be on SmackDown. But anyway, if they're going to bring, they might as well start priming Paul Heyman to bring back Lesnar, you know? I mean, he's not needed here. And look, and there are still, I know this is such a compelling thing, but the branches on the tree for this whole storyline are, I don't want to say millions. I'll say at least 100 branches on the tree, and for whatever they could do. And we haven't even talked about the fact, gotten into the fact that we still have a part of the family that's not in this thing right now, and that's Naomi. You know,
right?
I mean, right now we're focusing on the dynamic between the men. You know, between Roman and Jimmy and Jey. But what if at some point they decide to turn Naomi heel and switch her from SmackDown to Raw to SmackDown, right? Then you could see her be with Paul Heyman, because you know, I mean, she's not that good on the. She's great in the ring. She'd be the one that would need somebody to speak for her, because. Yeah, she's not that good on the mic, right? But and that would give Paul Heyman something to do, you know, and that would put him back.
And you're talking about branches on a tree. I mean, you could bring her in as a face too. You could bring her in if Jimmy Uso starts to get sucked into the Roman Reigns thing. She should come in and say, "What are you doing? This isn't you." And you know, listen, I know Roman's your family and all, but he's wrong. There could be a lot of things you could do here. I mean, look, this storyline could grow and grow and grow exponentially. And the deal behind it is they're all underplaying their roles. That's what makes this feel real. Roman Reigns isn't saying, Jey, if you're really on my side, I want you to take your brother out. That's what some wrestling federations would do. Oh, we did a good thing. We started a blood feud between brothers. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, but it's unbelievable. See, what's happening now is that Roman is just saying, I want what's best for your brother, too. I'm mad at your brother. But he don't get it. You get it. He doesn't get it. And until he does, he's going to be a problem for us. We got to figure out what we're going to do about it. That is so well written. Because you can believe it. I mean, if somebody told me, well, your brother's in the way and you got to take him out, I'd be like, that's unbelievable. Nobody would do that. You'd say, I'm not doing that. And then it's unbelievable. So you say, okay, it's an evil thing to do, and we get it, he's the heel and stuff, but it's not believable. This is believable. This is truly believable. And Jey Uso... You know how we say MVP gets the MVP on Raw? I have to say Jey Uso gets the MVP on SmackDown. because he has a hard role, and I don't care what anybody says. He's got a very hard role. Go talk to an acting coach and tell him what's the hardest things to do. And that is shift your emotions really quickly or be torn with your emotions. It's one thing to say, I'm sad. Okay, I can be sad. I'm happy. Okay, I can be happy. But when you're in the middle and you have to show it all, that's tough. And he does that on a regular basis. I mean, he's standing there in front of Adam Pearce, and he's like, yeah, okay, we're having a good match, yeah, yeah. But you can see he's happy, but he's worried. And it's the same way with next week, where they're going to have their championship match, and you can tell he's all excited, and then he's not so excited. And he's starting to think about what Roman's saying, and, oh, do I really want this? And I'm going to have to guarantee you that Roman Reigns is going to do something next week. And it's probably going to be something big. Because the Usos, I don't think, are walking out with that title. Not yet. And I'm guessing that Roman Reigns is going to be the cause of that. And that's where the story's really going to get thick. So, but I don't know that for sure. But boy, does that make me want to tune in. That's all you can ask from a wrestling show. If they do anything, something, during the course of the 2 or 3 hours, or 1 hour, whatever the case may be, if they do something during the course of their show that makes you say, man, I got to tune in next week. I really want to see what's going to happen. They won. This week, SmackDown won. Because when it went off the air, I'm saying, oh, man, something's going to happen. I don't know exactly what. I got my thoughts. But let's see. That's great. They've got it cranking over there with that storyline. If they had one more good storyline, because the Cesaro-Seth Rollins thing ain't it, if they had one more really good storyline on SmackDown, just one, that was just as compelling as this Roman Reigns-Usos thing, you'd be doing 3 million viewers. I guarantee you. Because once people get caught up in something like that, it only takes like one show. Did you ever have that happen? Did you ever watch a show with someone who never watched a certain show before? And they're like, well, I don't really know the characters. I don't really want to watch it. And you're just like, well, I'll explain. Sit down. You'll see. And halfway through the show, they're like, oh, who's that? Oh, I bet that guy's going to do this. Or I bet this person's going to do that. And by the time that show's over, they're like, when does that come on? I want to see what happens. They hooked you. They got you. Well, that's what would happen if you tuned in to SmackDown and you hadn't been a wrestling fan for a while. That's what would happen, Mike, and that's just good quality writing.
Right. I'll put it to you another way, Marcus. 1980, all right, there was this little show called Dallas, okay? And we all know what happened at the end of the 1980 season, right? But yep. As they were building toward that, they did other little storylines that kept the people coming back, you know. And, yeah, you had the underlying, when is it going to happen, you know. When you knew it was going to happen, just when, right? And then you had other things that were happening in that show that were side storylines that, yeah, there was – they may have been a couple of weeks storyline, maybe 3-4 week storyline, but you wanted to see because you weren't sure when the shot would ring out. You know, you weren't sure when Larry Hagman's character, JR, was going to get killed. Now, at the end of the season, which carried through the summer, which posed the question, who shot JR? But that's how they played it, and that's what they got, and that's how they wanted it, you know. And this is such a good thing that you could absolutely carry this out another 2 or 3 months, this storyline.
You definitely could. A good writer could carry this into WrestleMania if they needed to. I'm telling you, there's so much you can do with it. There's so much you can do with it because it's a perspective thing. You know, it's we're looking at it and maybe we're saying it appears as though what they're trying to say is that Roman Reigns would be jealous if Jimmy and Jay got the championships, because then he couldn't be the only Samoan with a belt, and he couldn't say I'm the total head of the table because they also have the gold. So he doesn't want that. But he makes a compelling argument when he says, you were the Usos, you were the champions, you were the best tag team in the world, and there were still people saying, which one are you? Nobody's saying that now. I changed all that for you. In a way, he's right. So there's this difference in perspective that's very interesting. And at some point, Roman Reigns is going to do something to reveal himself. In other words, right now, he's got Jey Uso in this, you know, my cousin really is looking out for me. I know some people don't like the way he does things, but he's right. He's done a lot for me and put me in main events and got me, you know, big paydays and stuff. He's going to do something that's either going to totally change Jay's mind, or he's going to do something that's going to convince Jimmy to come in. That's the only two options. Which one, I don't know. But one of those two's got to happen. And it's probably going to happen next week. So that's why next week's show, it probably is going to be a big ratings boost. Now, what the WWE writers got to get going here is you've got the head of the snake, so to speak. Now you've got to construct the rest of it. You've got the main angle. You've got the reason people are tuning in. Now hook them with another story. Now's the time to hook them with another really compelling story that they say, oh, I'm interested in that too. I really want to see what's going to happen there. It's not Kevin Owens pretending to cough 45 minutes after being hit by Aziz. That's not going to do it. It's not Seth Rollins and Cesaro for the 900th time. It's not going to do it. It's not even the Mysterios. Although now it's going to be a little bit because they're tied into this angle. But you've got to find, I don't care who it is, you got to find a couple of characters or tag teams or whatever you're going to do, and you've got to launch a really good, solid storyline that hooks people past this Uso thing. Because like I said, as good as I thought SmackDown was, if you remove all of the Roman Reigns Uso stuff from it and just look at it as a show without that, this was a horrible show. That's how good the good stuff was. It kind of took the dirt off the horrible stuff. It made that stuff look better, and you didn't think, oh, it's not that bad, until you really thought about it. This was a horrible show without that. Easily as bad as Raw. Even the announcers were terrible. At one point, I forget exactly what was said, but there was a couple of things that I'm like, what are they talking about? Oh, it was the Bianca Belair thing, and I believe it was Michael Cole called her Belanca Bier. Even Bailey made fun of it because that angle is so good and so strong, and you kept waiting for what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next, and they geniusly put the match first. If they'd have made you wait till the end, it wouldn't have been so good. Putting that match first was the exact right thing to do because you knew there was going to be reactions to how that match ended from each one of those people. You knew Jimmy was going to be elated and he's going to want a title shot. You weren't sure how Jay was going to go. You knew Roman was probably going to be upset about it. You wanted their reactions, and they gave it to you a little bit at a time. They were like, okay, you had the match. Now you got to watch this match and this interview, and then we're going to give you a little more. Then you're going to watch these matches and this interview, and then we're going to give you a little more. It kept you tuned in. Everything they did was right on SmackDown. I wish they'd given us better matches in between, and they put a little more focus on some of them too. But the actual composite makeup of it, Mike, was perfect.
It was perfect. And here's something else to think about. The whole Bianca Belair thing, the EST of WWE and all, that's a heelish type gimmick, right? Well,
yes.
If they're going to turn the Street Profits heel, that match did that her crying before the match at WrestleMania or whatever helped her out, helped her face. But still, that gimmick she has is a heel gimmick. Is I think she'd be better off as a heel. So if they do decide to via the Usos flip the Street Profits, then hell, go ahead and flip Bianca.
Yeah, I mean, look, it wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't be hard with her whole attitude thing and everything. That would be fairly easy to do. And I think they can pull it off. But it just depends on where they want to go with the Usos, because I don't know where this is going. My assumption is that they're gonna win the titles at some point. I don't know whether they're going to do it as faces or heels. I was told they're going to do it as heels, which, if that's the case, means that maybe Roman Reigns comes down and actually helps them win it, to which Jey Uso could be, you see, he really is on our side, and Jimmy Uso saying we didn't need his help. He obviously thinks we needed help, which means he thinks we're not a good team. We could have done this without him. So then you'd have more bitterness where Jimmy Uso was saying, you wouldn't like it. You always told us don't interfere in your business. You're mad when we interfere in your business, but boy, you sure can stick your nose in ours. There's a lot of branches, like Mike said, on the tree. There's a lot of ways you can go with this. You can actually make the Usos champion and still not know whether their heels or faces completely. Because no matter what you say, Jey Uso's not a heel. Jey Uso is a guy who's torn between two different factions of his own family and trying to find himself. And he's doing Roman's bidding, but he's not a heel because he's not doing it willingly and he's not doing it happily. So he's not really a heel. And Jimmy Uso's a face. So you've really got a great chemistry thing going here. It's really one of the better storylines I've seen in the WWE in a very, very, very long time. In a very long time. I wish there was more like this to recommend, but what else do we have? Now, Tamina and Natty are starting to look a little better as a team. But if they're going to make them a serious team, they've got to start playing up their heritage and their history. You know, Natty was on a talk show, and she said, I was due to have a big feud with Sasha Banks. And they nixed that feud with Sasha Banks to put me in this team with Tamina because of our heritage, you know, our second and third generation stuff and all that stuff. Well, play it up then. Play it up. Play it for all it's worth. Make us believe they're really good friends. Make us believe they're really trying to honor their heritage. Show us. But you can't do it if they don't even get an intro and they're in the middle of a match after a commercial break and we don't even know that Tamina was attacked. Makes us think you don't care about them. As far as Aziz is concerned, if that thing is that deadly, then you should have had him carried out on a stretcher. Kevin Owens should have been carried out on a stretcher then. To where we say, okay, well, wow, that's huge. We get where they're going with this guy. Now, to their credit, they're not putting Aziz in too many matches here, so he's not having to sell much. Eventually, he's going to have to go into some matches. We know that. As far as the Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio thing, what we need to get from them, and we need to get it right away, is a little bit of like, I'm the elder, and I have all the experience, and you're doing some things that I think are not in your best interest long term, and for his son, Dominic, to be like, we're winning, and that's all that counts. And to have a little bit of that, maybe I'm better than my dad routine. You know, start to get a little full of yourself. So that Ray can see the problem and start to say, wait, hold it. You know, let's calm down a little. You're young early in your career because we want that tension. We want there to be some tension because eventually, you know, it's going to be Ray and Dominic. They're going to feud. eventually you know that's going to happen. There's going to be a breakup. Dominic's going to be the heel. You can see it coming a mile away, and they're going to have that. So let's see a little bit of it now so that we can say, ooh, something's coming. Just give us a little tiny taste of it. As far as Seth Rollins and Cesaro, I don't know if there's anything more you can do with that. I just don't think there is. We've seen these matches. Is Seth Rollins going to lose again? Is he going to lose three times to Cesaro? Probably not, because Cesaro's championship aspirations, I guess, are gone, right? He lost to Roman Reigns. Says he wants a rematch, but he can get one. So I guess this time he'll lose to Seth Rollins. What good does that do anybody? Not much. So we'll see what happens. I mean, and look, we saw Chad Gable and Otis. What the hell? You dropped that like a hot potato. You're not doing anything with them. Couldn't we have a little dissension in the ranks there, too? Couldn't we have Otis saying, well, you got me doing all these things and I'm not really too cool about doing, and we're not winning. I was doing better on my own. You're not winning either, by the way. Can we get Otis back to being that lovable Otis? Because if you have that, at least you got, oh, I want to look forward to his, you know, mic time, too, and some of his skits, then you'd have something good there. And for God's sake, do something with this Shinsuke Nakamura thing. I'm all for pushing Shinsuke Nakamura. But how can he be the face if he's not right? He stole the crown. He lost the match. If you were going to do this with him stealing the crown, Jesus, you got to have him win the match. He beats Baron Corbin and for some reason thinks that means he gets the crown. And Baron Corbin could say, no, 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 it doesn't mean that. But we could side with Shinsuke saying, well, I guess that does make him the king, doesn't it? He beat the king. And he's just sour grapes because he got beat. But no, he won. He won, and Shinsuke looked like the guy with the sour grapes that attacked him afterwards and stole the crown. How does that make Corbin anything but the face? But you clearly don't want Corbin to be the face because you brought out this heavy metal guitar player guy to make Shinsuke even cooler. So obviously you want him to be the face. So I don't get any of this, Mike. It seems like it's going in weird directions.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And frankly, you're right about Tamina and Natty. I mean, in fact, you should frankly go up to Canada and do some do a little vignette talking about her the dungeon, you know. Have Bret Hart appear at some point to talk about it. Maybe even Tyler Kidd, you know, Tyler Kidd, whatever his name is, her husband, who was one of the last people to come out of the dungeon. You could have a little vignette on the Superfly, you know.
There's a lot of things you could do with it, and the key to the whole thing is, where do you want to go with it? You want to keep them champions for a long time? Fine, then keep playing up this, you know, we're doing this for our heritage thing. If you don't want to keep them champions long-term and your ultimate goal is to feud them, then you've got the perfect foil for that, because Natty could always say, how many years have I been in this business? And how many of my relatives have come along and given so much to the WWE and its fan base? I didn't get cheered at WrestleMania. Nobody chanted my name. It was Tamina. Tamina, 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 Tamina. Why? Because she can get on top of a buckle and jump off. You know, she could be jealous of her, and eventually you could have that feud. Or you could just keep them together. But either way, you got to do something with them. That's my point. Just having them trounce out and have a match is not good enough. We want to see some interaction between them. I know Tamina's not good on the mic, but she doesn't have to say a lot. Natty's okay on the mic. Natty could cover it. And you can get something going with them. And for God's sake, get a microphone in front of Otis. You know Otis is great on the mic. How come we can't have something between him and Chad Gable? Get Otis back to the lovable blue-collar slob guy he was. and you'll have something. Get Natty and Tamina booked as exactly what they're supposed to be, and show the bond that they share because of it, and you'll have something. I don't know what you'll do with Baron Corbin and Shinsuke. That's a mess. Maybe it's leading up to King of the Ring. I don't know. I don't know what it's leading up to, but it's a mess. And I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be doing with Aziz and Apollo Crews either, because let's be perfectly honest. Apollo Crews was a boring character. They tried very hard to give him a gimmick that they thought wouldn't be boring, and now he's being overshadowed by Aziz, and, you know, his matches are nothing special. You got Big E there, and now you got Aleister Black coming in. You're going to have to, and again, this was a big mistake. You let Aleister Black last week interrupt Big E from probably winning the title, and there was no follow-up this week. I can't imagine why that was. There should be something. We were all kind of tuning in saying, where's this going to go, Mike? And it went exactly nowhere.
It went exactly nowhere. And frankly, think about it this way. You know, and we haven't talked about it yet, but what happened after SmackDown went off? Yeah, at AEW, right? AEW was a very solid show all throughout. It was a solid show. And what they did there, and particularly with the whole promotion of that title match with Orange Cassidy, he had the last word. Basically, he didn't say anything, but he had the last word. All right?
Yeah.
That's called keeping a character strong. He probably isn't going to win that match, but you're keeping him strong, making people think that he might win it, that he might have a 30% chance of winning it, you know? So it's like that's a good thing. I mean, the WWE was good at that at one point, keeping people strong, and they've gotten bad at it.
Or they've gotten not just bad, they've gotten hideous at it. But I guess my greater point is this. Don't leave us with a cliffhanger one week and then don't even mention it the next. That's not what you want to do. We left SmackDown last week with the big surprise of Aleister Black being back. He didn't even say anything this week. There wasn't anything. That's not what you want, because let's just say a portion of the fans said, I'm going to tune into SmackDown this week. I want to see what's going to happen between Aleister Black and Big E after that. They were disappointed. And the next time you have a cliffhanger, they're going to say, oh, they're probably not even going to show anything about it anyway. You don't want that. As far as the AEW news is concerned, we got some unusual news here with AEW that, once again, you know, you can't hold yourself to such high standards and then expect you're not going to have trouble. Apparently, one of the Spanish announcers was mocking one of the female Japanese wrestlers' accent, mimicking it, I guess. And he thought he was off mic, but he was on mic. And AEW fans went berserk and insisted that Tony Khan do something about it, and he did. He fired the guy. And they're saying, well, that was a racist, horrible thing to do. I don't see it that way. Was he right to do it? Maybe he wasn't right to do it. Was it unprofessional? Maybe it was unprofessional. But how many times did Lucille Ball make fun of Desi Arnaz's accent on I Love Lucy? Is that racist? When she used to mimic him? How many times, I can't tell you how many times, I have walked into a place, and because of my look, everybody knows I look Irish. People will start talking like Irish and say, oh, top of the morning to you, Mark. I don't take that as an insult. I don't take that as racist. I don't have an accent. They're not but guess what? When I went down south, they were making fun of, or at least, I don't know if they're making fun of it, but they were poking fun at my New York accent, which I don't think I have. But apparently they do. And people say, oh, say this word again, say that word again. And then they were trying to say it like me. Are they racist? I don't think so. I think you're going way too far with it. We all just laughed. You know, I think this is the problem when you try so hard to be this moral arbiter of professional wrestling, is that any little tiny indiscretion has to result in immediate firing or you lose your credibility, and that's going to hurt AEW so much. Now, if he'd said something nasty about her and he thought he was off the air, if he'd have said, oh, she sucks as a wrestler and she's a bitch, I would have said, well, you got to fire him. Not because of what he said, but because he's not even smart enough to realize he was on the air. That you instantly got to fire him. But just making fun of an accent or poking fun of it, see, there's a difference. There's a difference when you say, I've done that. Okay, I've done that. How y'all doing this morning? You know, that don't mean I hate Southern people or I'm racist toward them. I was just kind of play-acting their accent. I don't think it's bad. I think it's cool. I like the accent. He didn't say anything horrible about it. He just mimicked it. And that's instant grounds for being fired. Wow. Holy crap. You can't hold yourself to that highest standard, I'm telling you, Mike. And everybody pretty soon is going to get fired because eventually everybody's going to do something.
Right. And how many – look, the thing is, I don't want to say what made it worse. I mean, look, this is – what they were talking about, what we're talking about here is them making this guy, I don't want to say making fun, but it was all about their champion, right? Hikaru Shida.
Yeah. Shida, yeah.
And that's what it was about. Yeah. I mean, in their minds, you can't, it's not just that it's a Japanese wrestler, it's your champion. And really, she speaks pretty good English, this Shida. You know, she speaks pretty good. Just like I think Asuka does. You know, but I mean that's a trope. You know, because we look at these Japanese wrestlers that have come across before, and they really don't, you know, they don't speak good English, and they don't try to speak good English, you know. Now, you've had some that did, you know, that were successful.
Yep. Was I dreaming or did I see John Morrison in the ring with Sheamus doing an Irish accent?
Yes, you did.
I did, and nobody went nutso and said, oh, he's racist against the Irish. Fire John Morrison. I laughed. I'm Irish. It's not an insult. God almighty, these people have for themselves.
I mean, think about this. Think about this. You couldn't make the Batman TV show nowadays, especially if you're going to do the chief of police, because that was a big Irish stereotype there.
Yes, it was. Yeah, well, this is the thing. People were not so sensitive, but this was just a few weeks ago that John Morrison is mocking Sheamus's accent, and nobody called for, that's horrible. So let me get this straight. You can mock an Irish accent. You can't mock a Japanese accent? Why? Come on, folks. Now, speaking of Japanese, there's a rumor, and a very strong one, that the WWE's been playing a little bit of dirty pool here behind AEW's back, and they have been trying to get New Japan to sign an exclusive deal to work with them, not AEW. Tony Khan is dismissing this as nonsense. Tony Khan better wake up. Because from what I'm hearing, part of the supposed deal was we want Daniel Bryan to work matches in New Japan. Isn't it interesting how Daniel Bryan's been written off television? If the WWE gets New Japan to sign that exclusive deal with them, AEW loses big time. Big time. And they look like idiots, by the way, if they lose. They look like idiots. because Tony Khan is saying, never going to happen in a million years. All the New Japan people just love me and love us, and they're going to work with us. Yeah, they're going to go where the money is. And if Vince McMahon shows them enough money and shows them enough of, gives them enough of what they want, they might leave you out in the cold, my friend, and you've just – welcome to the business. Welcome to the business. You're a newcomer, and you just got played. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I think it's very coincidental that they supposedly, one of the deal breakers or deal makers, I should say, was they wanted Daniel Bryan to do some matches. And all of a sudden, Daniel Bryan's been written off television. Coincidence? Maybe. We'll see what happens. But this could be big, Mike, because if AEW loses access to New Japan, they lose a lot.
They do lose a lot, and they did. And look, here's the deal. What are they doing right now? Right? What are they doing right now? They're doing basically the Bullet Club with what's his name and the Good Brothers, right?
Yeah, basically.
So if they do that, then what happens to the Bullet Club thing? You know.
And what happens to Mox going back down to New Japan all the time to wrestle? He won't be doing that anymore. So, yeah, there's a lot here. I'm not sure where that's going to go. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's in New Japan's best interest to sign any exclusive deal with anybody exclusively. But the WWE, that could be the deal breaker. Because if New Japan says, well, why can't we work with both people, that answer is going to be no. Vince McMahon is not going to go for that at all. But if for some reason they think that they're better off with the WWE, then Tony Khan's in some trouble, no question about it, because that's going to be a major blow for them. Now, their fan base, look, AEW is giving you it's a definite alternative to the WWE. It's even an alternative to NXT, although I think it's closer to NXT. It's giving you a little bit of a mixture. It's giving you some of the WWE-style wrestling. It's giving you some of the NXT-style wrestling. It's giving you some of the Japanese-style wrestling. It's even giving you some Lucha-style wrestling. It's giving you different. It's giving you some old school. It's giving you some new school. It's trying to crank itself on all cylinders, which a little bit is what ECW did. You'd see a hardcore match, then you'd see a Lucha match, then you'd see Chris Benoit against Dean Malenko. There was all kinds of different styles going on in ECW. They're remembered for the hardcore, but there was a lot more to it than that. AEW is trying to do that too. Once in a while, they'll give you that exploding barbed wire death match, and then they'll give you just a good solid match. They're trying to do that to their credit. Their fan base is going to be okay with it, even if they lose New Japan. I guarantee you. I am more worried about Tony Khan's insistence on being this moral arbiter of professional wrestling than I am about him losing New Japan. Because they could pick up some other federation and they'd be fine. But if you're going to fire people for such minor little indiscretions, then the ball's got to be in that court all the time. So what happens if, for instance, MJF comes out and decides he's going to mock somebody's accent? He's got to be fired. What's the difference? Now you're going to say, well, one's in character and one isn't. Oh, well, what's the difference, though? It's still putting somebody down, right? Never should have been fired, this guy. This guy should have been reprimanded. He should have been told, number one, you need to know when you're on the air and when you're not on the air because you're an announcer, not one of the Three Stooges. Number two, we don't like that stuff here. We know you didn't mean it in any racial way, and we know you didn't mean it to demean her. But we don't like that stuff here, so ease up on that. Don't do that anymore. That's all. That's all. But when you paint yourself into a corner where, no, I have to show the world how wonderfully progressive and moral I am, then you have no choice. Well, now you have no choice when other wrestlers do stuff too. And then what? You better tread lightly, because the moment you fire somebody or suspend somebody for something and then don't do it for somebody that you vitally need, you're going to be called a hypocrite, and you will be one. So you better think twice about every one of these decisions. Now, what I think is happening is I think we're getting a little bit of a, what's the right word for it? I guess a little bit of dissension in the ranks. From what I'm hearing, there are some people who want to run AEW a little differently, and they're clashing with people who want to keep it so politically, not politically correct, but so morally whatever. In other words, there are some people with my point of view saying, can we just ease up on all of this virtue signaling and can we just wrestle? As opposed to having to worry about everything we say and run it through a focus group and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to do that. People are becoming disenfranchised with that. And then another faction is saying, no, this is the right way to do it. This is the modern way of doing it. They can't afford that inner turmoil. Everybody needs to get on the same page. They're continually putting on good shows. They're continually giving their audience what their audience wants. I'm not the hugest fan of it. But they are giving that target audience what they want. And they got to continue to do that. And they're not going to be able to do that if they keep this dissension in the ranks. So we'll see what ends up happening. Now, as far as the rest of the situation with, the Spanish announcer, look, there's a dude that's out of his job. There's a dude that right now is not bringing home a paycheck because he decided to just joke around and try to, as a Spanish guy, try to do a Japanese accent, I guess. You're never guilty of that? You never one time tried to talk like a Scotsman or tried to talk like a Southerner or tried to talk like a Canadian or tried to talk with a German accent? Or you never did that? In your whole life, never? Come on, folks. Of course you did. And you didn't do it because you hated them. You did it because it was almost, in some ways, it's almost like a, well, I feel comfortable enough to do it because I like them. It's not a horrible thing. Everything is not always a horrible thing. If you spend your whole life looking for nothing but how can I complain about something? How can I find something racist? How can I find something morally bankrupt? Then you'll find it in everything you're looking for. You got to stop. Because if you truly love AEW, you got to ease up on them. Because they think that they've got to walk this thin line. When in reality, they're not obligated to walk any thin line. I made a Facebook post not long ago and I said, this politically correct nonsense is going to kill wrestling. It's going to kill it. You're the same people who go to a movie and one of your favorite actors plays a serial killer or a rapist or a child abuser, and you say, wasn't he good? Isn't he such a good actor? You're not writing the studio, say, fire him. Fire him for doing that horrible thing because you know it's not him. Well, guess what? Wrestlers are actors. And you can't have a wrestler just, oh, I said one bad thing and now I got to come out and apologize and maybe be fired or suspended. This is just stupidity. It's going to kill the whole entire business, I'm telling you. And it's going to die a slow, painful death. And the leader of this, unfortunately, is AEW because they're leading the way with this, we want to be morally just and we want to be the moral arbiters and we want to be the virtue signalers and we want to be the perfect whatever. You can't be perfect. You're in a sport by the very nature of it is supposed to be a little bit walking that line between being acceptable and non-acceptable. So, Mike, I don't know. I think they need to ease up, and this would have been a good time for Tony Khan to say, I'm not firing this guy over this. I'll talk to him, but I'm not firing him.
Yeah, I would say that as well, and especially the fact of the matter is that even with this, to tell you the truth, Marcus, I like what they did two nights ago, I tell you the truth, I like the fact that they were on later. You know, I like that. And frankly, think about this. You know, we're talking about them AEW moving possibly from TNT to TBS. Wrestling and TBS, pro wrestling and TBS has a long history, starting in the 1970s. All right?
Yeah.
So And so it might not be a bad idea for them to move to TBS.
No, see, it's not a bad idea, and TBS reaches more homes, but it's a very deceiving stat. And here's why it's a deceiving stat. It's not in every state. So where I say, well, it might, I could say that too. I could say, well, I reach more people in than this person, but all of my people are from the East Coast. All of his people are from the West Coast, and I reach more. Yeah, but that's not good because you want to reach everyone. So while they're saying the amount of television sets that could tune into TBS is greater than the amount of television sets that could tune into TNT, it's deceiving because it's all in certain areas and less, much less in other areas. In other words, TNT is more all over the map, and TBS is more localized in certain groups. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll see what happens when the touring comes back. Because that's going to be a plus. Now, I heard that both AEW and WWE are having trouble selling tickets. And that, I guess, both companies are making people, I guess, sign some kind of a waiver, not at the door, but like when you buy the ticket says, by purchasing this ticket, you absolve them of all responsibility and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and basically you can't sue them and all that kind of stuff. And it's making some people worried because some people are still in this mode of saying, I'm uncomfortable being in a crowd. What happens if I get deadly sick? What happens if I die? There has to be this moment, folks. I'm telling you, there has to be this moment when you go back to living. Or you're already dead. You're breathing, but you're dead. There has to be this moment where you say, I'm going to go ahead and go back to my life. When is it going to be? Next year? Year after that? How many years of your life are you going to waste? I said it before and I'll say it again. The very first event that comes around my area that does not require me to wear a mask for 3 hours, I'm there. I'm absolutely there, and I'm not afraid because I could get killed in my car on the way there. I could get struck by another car. A million things could happen to me, and I'm not going to sit here chewing my fingernails off about what could happen to me while nothing's happening because I'm sitting in my room scared to death. That's not happening. So for all of you people who are nervous about buying AEW tickets or nervous about buying WWE tickets, stop. Just stop. If you want to go and you really, really want to go, go. Just go. Do what you want to do. Live your life the way you want to live it. Don't live in fear. Because I got news. If AEW can't sell any tickets and WWE can't sell any tickets, they're going to pull them off the road. They're not going to lose money. They're going to say, okay, well, we tried it, and people aren't ready. Back to the Thunderdome and back to just having a few fans in AEW, and that's it. That's what they're going to do. They're not going to go on these massive tours and lose tons of money. They're absolutely not going to do it. So you got to show that you want this too. So now it's up to – now the ball's in the fans' court. AEW and the WWE have done everything right. They've crossed their T's and dotted their I's. Now you just need to show up. Now, I'm not telling you if you're deathly afraid, then don't go. I'm sorry that you're deathly afraid, and I feel badly that you are because you're allowing a long portion of your life to be sabotaged. But if that's the way you feel, stay home. But if you're one of these people that's on the fence and say, I'd like to go, but I don't know. I wonder if it really is safe. And look, you got to take that plunge, right? How many of you guys get on your motorcycle or on your skateboard or bungee jump or hang glide or whatever you're going to do? Do you know for sure you're coming back? I'd say it's damn safe. When they can fit 50,000 people in Texas Stadium night after night and there's no uptick, I'd say it's safe. I can't guarantee your safety. Nobody can guarantee your safety. It's impossible. All I can say is I don't think it's going to lead to any major outbreaks. But what it will lead to if nobody goes is the WWE and AEW regressing back into their former way of doing business, and then we don't know when we're going to see live crowds. It could be till 2022 or later than that, Mike.
No.
Mike, you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're gonna fear that much, right? Then I've heard a story about a married couple that the man, even though they're both, both got the vaccine, the man still wants to wear a mask.
Yeah.
All right. Those stories are out there, all right? And those stories are just fear porn. These have bought into a lot of the stuff that the media and so I don't want to get into political stuff, but that's just what it is. And if you got a guy that believes, oh, I'm going to go to a wrestling event and it's got 20. It's a 25,000 seat arena, maybe less than that. Maybe let's call it a 10,000 seat arena, whatever. And we're packing them in, and we're shoulder to shoulder, and we're all wearing masks. And the majority of us have gotten the thing. And I'm still afraid. I don't want to say you're an idiot, but you're an idiot. You know.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Maybe Texas has led the way to a certain extent. The whole field was packed, and people are okay. I mean, like I said, at some time, the wrestling fans are now going to decide what we're going to do. We're either going to go back to being on the road, and everyone is going to go back to being able to attend live wrestling events with or without masks, or we're going to regress, and we're going to go back to Titantrons, and we're going to go back to Thunderdomes, and we're going to go back to limited people, spread out through the thing, and that's how your wrestling's going to be. I hope it's the former, because I think we've all had enough of the latter. Anyway, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll see you Tuesday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.